Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, and this is the House of Ephraim Show today. And we do have with us today, from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Sister Donna Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out, because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on. And you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv, and we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service, and we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Sister Donna Deck.
So I'm going to start with teaching on Passover tonight, but first let's have a word of prayer. Father, I come to you. I thank you and I praise you, Father. I thank you and I praise you, Father, for your Shabbat. I thank you and praise you, Father, for the new moon, the new beginnings, Father. And Lord, I thank you for your Passover. Yeshika halaboko. Satan, I bind you from this service. I bind you in the name of Yeshua. And what is bound on earth is bound in heaven. And Father, I ask for your anointing to flow, Father. Your anointing to flow, and angels, I send you forth to cause that anointing to penetrate each and every heart tonight. In Yeshua's precious name, amen and amen. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, because to understand about Passover, about Pesach, Pesach is the Hebrew pronunciation for Passover. But to understand it, we have to go back into history. So we're going to start at Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Now, Adam and Eve had been instructed that they couldn't eat of everything in the Garden of Eden except for the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so God had to do something because they had sinned. He had to do something to cover that sin. And here in Genesis 3:21, we see that Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. He covered them. But there had to be a blood sacrifice. There was an animal killed for them to be clothed in the skin. And that blood sacrifice covered their sin. I want you to think about something. Adam and Eve had never experienced death. They had never seen anything die. But God had killed this animal to cover them. You see, without a covering for our sin, we cannot get in to the presence of the Father. They would have been cut off from his presence. And you and I are cut off with God's presence when we do not come under the covering of Yeshua, where he has forgiven us for our sins. That's why we teach you every day, get before the Father, ask him to forgive you for your sins, and ask him to forgive you not only for the sins you know, but the ones you don't know. And then ask him to reveal to you those sins that you don't know. Let's go on to Genesis chapter 22. There's a new cycle or a new transition that's getting ready to happen here. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I am here. He said, Take up thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains, mountains that I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early the next morning, saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up, and he went to the place which God had told him. Can you imagine? He waited until Sarai was 90 years old. The time for her to have children had passed before this son that God had promised him, that God had said that he would have as an inheritance. And here God is saying, now I want you to sacrifice that son. But Abraham got up the next morning. He got the wood. He got two servants to go with him. And he got his son. And off he went to do what God said to do. Can you imagine how his heart was breaking? Can't imagine. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. The third day. How many days was Yeshua in the the grave 3 days. That's significant. Verse 5, and Abraham said to the young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it onto Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and both of them went together. Now again, Yeshua carried his cross. It was laid upon him. Isaac was carrying the wood burned in this sacrifice. It was laid upon him by his father. Verse 7, Isaac spake to Abraham his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac understood there had to be a blood sacrifice. He understood there had to have been a lamb. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went up together. Abraham speaking faith. And they came to the place where God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here I am. Do you notice here that Abraham knew the voice of God and he answered, here I am? And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. A blood sacrifice. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is this said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God was beginning a plan that would lead to us. It would lead to us, Ephraim. It would go down through the generations, generation after generation. And God was setting this up. He was planting the seed. Abraham had been willing to give his only begotten son. That opened the door. Set the path for God to send his son to sacrifice. Let's go on and look at the next transition. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Exodus 12, verse 1. God has transitioned down through the ages. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Now this month was the month of Nisan, which is the month of Passover or Pesach. The Israelites had become slaves in Egypt, and God was getting ready to deliver them. Verse 3, speak ye to the congregation of Israel, saying, the tenth day of this month, the tenth day of Nisan, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb, a blood sacrifice. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The sacrifice was made in the evening. Christ died on the cross in the evening. And they shall take the blood and they shall strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, Passover, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Something supernatural was about to happen. The death angel was going to come over the land of Egypt, and he was going to smite every firstborn of male and animal, or human and animals. But God was fixing it up so the Israelites would not lose their firstborn. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. Do you understand all the plagues was against the gods of Egypt? I am the Lord, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. What does he mean? That word in Hebrew means proof. The blood that you put on your houses will be the proof that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God said, you put that blood on there, it's going to be a token, it's going to be proof that I will pass over you. That was amazing. Verse 14, and this day shall be to you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance. Do you see what my Bible says? You will keep it a feast by an ordinance until Christ comes and the apostles pass away and we have a new covenant. Oh, your Bible doesn't say that? Oh, well, neither did mine. No, it says you will keep it a feast as an ordinance forever. Now, how many of you understand how long forever is? It goes on and on and on and on and on. In the millennium, we'll be celebrating Passover, Pesach. It is a ordinance forever. Once again, there was the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of the Lamb. Let's go down to verse 29, same chapter, let me make sure. No, chapter 22, Exodus 22, verse 29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruit and thy liquors, and the firstborn of thy sons shall thy give unto me. Likewise thou shalt do with thine oxes and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dame, and on the eighth day thou shalt give it to me. He's talking about the tithe. He's talking about giving unto the Lord. You shall not delay to give the first of your first fruits. Let's go to Exodus 13, verse 11. Exodus 13, we're going back. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it to thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that opens the matrix, and every firstling that comes of a beast which thou hast. The males shall be the Lord's, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and thou shalt not redeem it. Then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children thou shalt redeem. It took sacrifice for them to receive the mercy of God. But they got religious about the sacrifices. They got religious about it. We have been guilty as Christians. We got religious about church. We got religious about what we believed. We got religious about what we needed to do. You know, I remember one time I was talking with Prophet about something, and right now I do not remember what it was, but I'll never forget what he said to me. This is before him and I got married. He looked at me and he said, "That's a stinking spirit of religion. You need to get rid of it." And I was like, "What?" Because it was something that in the denominational church that I was raised in, it was like this was something. He goes, "That's a stinking spirit of religion." You see, we get into religion. And they got into the religion about the sacrifices. You know what they were doing? They were doing the sacrifices, and then they would go sin. They would do the sacrifices, and then they would keep sinning. They would do the sacrifices, and they was not getting the sin out of their lives. Does that sound familiar? It does to me. You see, God wants us to receive his mercy, receive his forgiveness, but he wants us to walk in holiness and righteousness. He wants us to get the sin out of our lives. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1, and we're going to look at just how fed up God got with the Israelites. Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 11. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full up of burnt sacrifices of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or he-goats. And when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain obligations. Incense is an abomination to me. New moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with it. It is iniquity, even your solemn meetings." Whoa. It's iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Those who work against the law. But God, we're doing the sacrifices. But they were not making the adjustable steps to walk in righteousness. And God was done with it. He was done with it. Verse 14. "Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates it. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them." How many of you understand that you can wear God out? Those of you that have been parents and have had little children who wanted to do something, even older children, who wanted to do something, and they're like, "Can I do this?" And you're like, "No." And how many of you have had children that came back again? "Can I do this?" "No." Well, what if I do it this way? "No." Well, what if I do it this way? "No." And how many of you have ever seen a parent that finally got wore out to the point they were weary of them and they're like, just go do it? God said, you've made me weary. Verse 15. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Ooh-ooh. I don't know about you, but I want God hiding his eyes from me. And when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. You guys know this one. You quote it. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be as wool. But verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. It takes willingness. It takes obedience. It takes learning to do well. It takes learning to what? Walk in righteousness. But they had made sacrifice of religion. You see, the prophet Isaiah had got a revelation. He had gotten a revelation that it wasn't going to be a bunch of lambs being sacrificed, that there was going to be a time when there would be a lamb, that God would send a lamb in place of all those sacrifices, all of those lambs. And that was Yeshua. And he was prophesying. Let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He's talking about Yeshua. He's talking about Yeshua being the sacrificial lamb. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. One Lamb of God to take the place of all the lambs. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah here is prophesying about a transition. He's prophesying about a transition, a new cycle. A new cycle that's going to come. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is what the angels had to say. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus or Yeshua. And he shall save his people from their sins. Isaiah knew the Messiah was going to come. The prophecies even said it would be in Bethlehem. Guess what? Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem and she had the child in Bethlehem. They also knew that he was to be revealed. And that revealing was from the Mingle Elder. That's E-D-E-R or E-D-A-R. That is the Tower of the Flock. This tower is where they watch the flock of the sacrificial lambs. Special flock. It's where they watch them from this tower. These were the lambs that were going to be brought into the tabernacle of God to be slaughtered and to be sacrificed. When? On Passover. And they gathered them all into the field. It was just outside of Jerusalem. But that tower was also next to Bethlehem. And Yeshua was at Bethlehem. It was in the shadow, as a shadow would be cast by that tower. He was next to that tower. That tower is mentioned in the book of Genesis. Let's look back in Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, we're going to start in verse 19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way at Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar, a monument, upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Adar. The lookout point for the shepherds. Right there at Bethlehem. Right there at Bethlehem. Let's go on. Remember this. This is significant about this tower. This is very significant about the lambs, that how they went by that tower. John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, 29. This is John the Baptist. And the next day John sees Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, taketh away the sins of the world." John had revelation. Behold the Lamb, that Lamb that Isaiah prophesied about, will take away the sin of the world. And that word, sin, symbolized totality rather than many. It will take away the totality of sin. It covers them all. There isn't any of them left out. Yeshua, the Lamb of God, comes to take totally your sin and my sin so that we could do what? We could be sinless and come into the presence of the Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for sending your Son. That is what the sacrifice of the Lamb and His blood upon you would bring to you and does today. John was talking about the removal of a barrier that existed between a holy God and a sinful man. And Yeshua came, and He had victory. Victory over the defeat that happened in the Garden of Eden. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, He did not create them with the idea that they would sin. Now, I know God knows the beginning from the end, and He knew it was going to happen. But He was hoping it wouldn't. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came. He was the second Adam. And with His death, it began another transition, another cycle. Yeshua did what the first Adam could not do. The first Adam brought death. The second Adam brings life. Now, if you'll remember, before Yeshua was crucified, He went into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Two ways that a king would come into Jerusalem. The one way was in their chariots. They would come from war and they would celebrate and the people would shout and crown them with the glory of their triumph and their victory. And then the other way, a king would come merely on a donkey. And Jesus came on a perfect donkey. We referred to this in the denominational churches as Palm Sunday. Because the people began to lay palm leaves down. And they shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Because the king had come. The king was about to become king over all the kings. And here He came, right down the main street of Jerusalem. He was declaring His kingship that day. Remember how He kept telling people when He would pray for them and they'd be healed and He'd say, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. He was waiting for this day when He was declaring His kingship, that He was saying, I am the King of Kings. I am sent by God. He was the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb of God. He was fulfilling scriptures. The Holy Lamb of God was entering Jerusalem. Very few people were noticing that the lambs were being brought past the Tower of Flocks. At the same time that Yeshua was entering in, they were also bringing in, because it was the time of Passover, they were bringing in the flock for the sacrifice. Yeshua went past day. Remember? They brought Him in on the 10th day. Everyone was excited because it was Passover. Now see, we don't understand this because we weren't raised and taught about this. You see, we can come before the Father every day and repent for our sins. But they couldn't. They could only repent for their sins one time a year. On Passover, their sins were washed away for the coming year. Their sins were washed away. And so Passover was very important. Very important. Yeshua was the Lamb. He was the sacrifice. And he laid his life down. Just as Isaac had laid down on that wood, Yeshua laid down his life for you and I. They couldn't take his life. They couldn't take it. He gave it. He gave it. And that's important to understand. Well, Sister Donna, how do you know they didn't take it? Well, because remember when they got upset with him at one point and they said, hey, we're going to get him, and he just walked through the midst of the crowd and they couldn't find him. It wasn't time yet. It wasn't Passover. It wasn't time for him to go past the Tower of Flocks. It wasn't time for him to ride the donkey and declare that he was the King of Kings. It wasn't the right time. And as Prophet Deckard would always say, timing is everything with God. And he walked through the crowd, and they lost him. But now the time had come. And he rode in on the donkey, the people praising and hallelujah and hosanna to the King of Kings and everything. But what happened? What happened? When the time came for the sacrifice, when the time came, the people said, give us Barabbas! What happened to their memory? What happened to Hosanna, the king? But now they're saying, give us Barabbas, crucify him. Why? Because it was all part of the plan. It was all part of what God had been transitioning and building up to ever since Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden. Passover. The Bible says that when he died, it got dark that afternoon. And then there was a great earthquake. And that earthquake, when it rent the veil over the temple, the Holy of Holies, it rent it from the top to the bottom. A new cycle had come. Now, we can walk into the presence of the Father. That earthquake, even the dead came and rose up out of the grave. Ishakaha. Remember Thomas, the disciple? Remember how Yeshua had appeared to the other disciples and they had said, hey, he's risen. He's alive. And Thomas says, I won't believe it unless I can touch his hands and put my hand in his side. Yeshua said, you know something, Thomas? For those of you that have seen, and for those who have never seen, yet believe, you would believe only because you could feel and see. But blessed are those who have never seen yet believe. We are part of that. We are part of that. He was utterly defenseless, like the lamb being led to slaughter. He offered himself as a ransom, an offering, a sacrifice. Go on, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. The law having a shadow of good things to come. Remember Prophet Deckard saying that the anointing in his life, the things that we saw him do, the healings, the miracles that we saw, the anointing in him, that it was a shadow of things to come? You need to grab onto that. It was a shadow. A shadow. Remember the book that we just published a couple of years ago that the prophet wrote, The Last Day Pentecost? He talks about the latter rain. You see, we have only been experiencing a mist of the Holy Ghost, but it's going to thunderstorm them Holy Ghost. We're going to see the greatest move of God. And right now, it's time to prepare your hearts. Because if your heart is not right, if your heart is hiding sin, if your heart is not walking in righteousness and holiness, but in selfishness, you will not be part. You will not be part of this exciting thing. The greatest move of God that this earth has ever known is at the door. It's at the door. Ephraim! Can you hear the thunder? Can you hear the thunder of the footsteps of Ephraim? Can you hear the thunder of the storm of the Holy Ghost? It's at the door. Get your heart prepared. Get serious before the Father. Every day asking God, what do I need to change in my life? What should I habitually do in my life, Father? That I can work the works of God. That I can be part of this last day move, Father. Do it every day. Every day. No one can do it for you. You are the only one that can do it. Quit making excuses. Quit procrastinating. Get before the Father and do what He's told you to do. In the name of Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua. Yeshua died with a crown on his head. Yeshua died the King of Kings. The King of Kings. God had changed the direction. God had transitioned from the death of the first Adam that brought death to the life of the second Adam. Yeshua brings life to you and I. He brings life to us. He forgives us of our sin. All of them in totality. There's not something that you have done so bad that cannot be forgiven. Well, Sister Donna, what about blaspheming the Holy Ghost? What about it? What about it? You know, so often, again, we get caught up in our religion. We get caught up in our religion, and we let darkness say, well, you're not forgiven. You blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you what. As long as you feel guilty for the sin and you feel God pulling you to quit, you haven't blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Forgiveness for your sins. We are walking today in the midst of this new cycle, this transition, this transition. In fact, we are a part of the next transition. Why? Because we have had the blinders taken off of our eyes, and we have begun to keep the covenant that we didn't know to keep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Priesthood ended. The sacrificing ended. God had sacrificed the lamb on the altar that we call a cross. That we call a cross. We begin to see the righteousness of God's timing. That he changed directions. He took away the first to establish the second. Let's pray. Father, I come to you. Father, I've come to you, I pray. I pray that all of those who are listening, I pray, Father, that they will get before you and repent. Oh, Father, that they will begin to pour their hearts out to you. They'll begin to walk in righteousness and holiness, Father. Someone who's having a heaviness in your abdomen. I'm not sure, but you have a heaviness in your abdomen. I want you to put your hand on that. In the name of Yeshua, he took your sickness. He took your sickness. You are healed in the name of Yeshua. Satan, get your hand off of that person. Get your hand off of them. Take your lying symptoms and leave. Oh, shakalamai. There it is. Take it. Take it. Oh, koshaka. Receive it in the name of Yeshua. Oh, shakabaka. Oh, shakalamai. Thank you, Father. Anyone else have anything that you need to be healed for? Put your hand wherever it is. Father, I come to you. I speak healing. Yeshua took it. They don't have to. Be healed in the name of Yeshua. Oh, Shekalamaka. Oh, Shekalamaka. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen and amen. Prophet Mark, I turn it back over to you.
Hey, thank you again so much. That's Donna Deckard, Mount Carmel, Illinois, Cradle of Hope Ministries. Again, you can get more information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. Get out there, do yourself a favor, find out what's going on here, and you won't be disappointed. So again, you can also get more, all the tape series is out there on the website for you to get a hold of. I greatly encourage you to get all that. You can also email your prayer request to cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we'll be praying for your prayer request. Again, that's cradle@jewishprophet.com. Shalom. Remember, with God, all things are possible.
Adon Olam, Asher malach v'terem kol yetzir nivra v'et nasa b'cheftzo kol azay melech shemo nikra.